The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is sold out. However, you can still add your name to a standby list. Just send an email to conference@issuesetc.org. When you hear the name Baylor University, you probably think football, but of late you might also be thinking about a football program that might be in some jeopardy. The coach has been fired. The chancellor of the university, former special prosecutor Kenneth Starr, also either stepped down or was fired, depending on where you're reading the news from the last couple days. How has the media covered Baylor University in the light of what is really a nationwide scandal of sexual assault in almost 200 colleges or universities, especially in the light of collegiate sports and Baylor's attempts to keep the vestiges of Christian education going? We're going to be answering that question with Terry Mattingly here on Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, June the 2nd. Terry is a regular guest. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here, even though as a two-degree Baylor alum, this is not a fantastic subject to be discussing.
It's a big story, but you say it's bigger than a football story. Why so?
Well, first of all, I think people have to flash back for a second and remember how absolutely lousy Baylor was at football for so long. And Baylor's relationship to the Big 12 was very, very tenuous, you know, in the sense that it was just such a lousy school in terms of the major sports. And I would even flash back just, I mean, this dates me like everything else. When I was at Baylor in the mid-70s, I was actually covering football and major sports for this campus newspaper when Baylor was picked for dead last in the old Southwest Conference and managed to win it in 1974 in what was at the time referred to as the Miracle on the Brazos. But what everybody forgets was that at the time that season began, there was a major article on whether Baylor and maybe Rice University should be thrown out of the Southwest Conference because they were so lousy. So I think it's very important to realize that it is not normal for a pretty seriously Baptist school in Waco, Texas, to be discussed, let alone in the top 10, potentially in the top 4 to 5 football programs in the country, you know, with a statue of a Heisman Trophy winner sitting out in front of its brand spanking new state-of-the-art stadium. So to some degree, Baylor's football prominence needs to be seen for what it is, a very short-term situation largely created by the man that the school just fired as a part of this, during, you know, as a reaction to this scandal. So I think that's one of the things that has to be said right up front. Baylor's not a football school. Baylor's a lot of things, but it is only very, very recently a football school. So the bigger issue here is, what is Baylor's larger identity, and to what degree does its Board of Regents want to defend that larger identity in an era in which you can make a very strong case that it's impossible to blend serious Christian commitment and big-time American athletics in this day and age, which is exactly the comment I made in an interview last week with the Washington Post when this story was just beginning to break. That was the main point I tried to get across to the Post. There's two things going on here in this story, and you got to get both halves of this equation covered. One is Baylor's identity as a historically and seriously Baptist school, and the second, this newfound identity at Baylor as being a major player in the big two men's sports, specifically football, but also basketball.
So what does Title IX, what does the policy that's in place there, that has, at least according to the press, undergone radical changes, even though you argue that it really hasn't, what does all of that have to do with this, and how does it all come together?
Well, I mean, first of all, there have been radical changes in the legal climate surrounding sexual assault, women's rights, and big-time athletics. I mean, there's a reason, to quote the New York Times, that currently almost 200 schools face investigation on these topics. I don't know if you've seen that statistic in the coverage. Doesn't that kind of put the Baylor situation in a slightly larger framework?
Sure.
I mean, and that's not to excuse Baylor. I am totally and completely in favor of the stricter standards and believe Baylor should hold itself to an even higher standard on all of these issues. And you might find it interesting to know that once again, back when I was at school, soon after the cooling of the Earth's crust, you know, back in the mid-70s, I got in a lot of trouble with the Baylor administration, along with some other student journalists, for our attempts to cover what Baylor felt were some unnecessarily bad public relations subjects for the school, largely the biggest one of which was sexual assault issues at Baylor. And these were not athletic cases. This was just in general. On one notorious occasion, after I had left the journalism department, had lost some of my benefits at the school and some other things, Baylor canceled a workshop that was to be held on campus, an anti-rape and anti-sexual assault workshop, saying they were not comfortable with some of the views of the organization that was doing it, presuming that the group was probably to the left of Baylor, which I don't doubt. But I wrote an infamous letter to the editor, which ended up in my discipline file at Baylor, in which I noted that I was having a hard time coming up with a New Testament or biblical argument in favor of rape. That didn't go over big with the Baylor administration at the time. So I would argue that what we're looking at here is Baylor is in an extremely hostile era in terms of legalities on sexual assault issues. By the way, as I've just said, I'm glad that that stricter standard is out there. But Baylor is also, to say the least, existing at a time when it is getting harder and harder legally for seriously religious schools to defend their own doctrines and to defend the borders of their own voluntary associations, whether that's from the Health and Human Services mandates, other things related to gay marriage or whatever. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest understatements either one of us could make. So that's two rather intense sets of pressures coming on Baylor at the same time. And that affects Baylor athletics. A couple of weeks ago, you and I were talking about the fact that I had predicted the NCAA would soon face pressure from gay rights groups to strip some of its schools of their status in the NCAA over same-sex marriage issues or their request for exemptions because of their lifestyle covenants. Well, do you see the relation of that to this? Baylor's already facing stricter scrutiny on sexuality issues and conduct issues because of the gay rights era we're in as well. That may have nothing to do with the current controversy, but it has a lot to do with the legal climate surrounding athletics and surrounding seriously Christian schools. So I ended up telling the Washington Post that, if anything, this case raised very real questions about whether it is possible for a school to seriously defend the teachings of a traditional form of faith and be active in big-time athletics. That's a sad comment in terms of Baylor's future in those topics, but at some point Baylor may have to decide which half of that Solomon's choice they're willing to make.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Baylor University, Christian education, and collegiate sports. When we come back, how is it being covered, especially in Houston and elsewhere in Texas?
Tired of hearing about what you have to do for God? Then come hear what He has done for you. Receive His gifts of life and salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you think big screens belong in movie theaters, then you'll be right at home at Faith Lutheran Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. God's powerful, saving word needs no gimmicks, so we simply teach the word of God and administer His sacraments. We plant and water while God gives the growth. Faith Lutheran Church of Beaufort, South Carolina, where the Bible is still the Word of God and where we still speak the historic Christian liturgy. This is your grandfather's church. Come home.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Baylor University, Christian education, and collegiate sports. So how is all of this being covered, Terry, in particular in Houston, the Houston Chronicle? And you said, well, at least they told the story. And then, if you would, in Dallas.
Well, I mean, Houston at least saw that there was a moral and religious issue here. Their coverage was flawed by the fact that nobody seemed to know much about Baptist polity or the history of the Southern Baptist Convention in the last quarter of a century or something like that. There is not a single Baptist convention in Texas because of divisions among Southern Baptists, many of which can be found in all aspects of Baylor politics. There are now two Southern Baptist conventions in Texas, one to the left of the other. The Chronicle didn't seem to realize that. The biggest problem with the Chronicle piece, however, was it ended up quoting almost nobody related to the current situation at Baylor. It was a weird, bizarre story. And it also repeated an inaccurate statement the Chronicle had made about a year ago, that Baylor had changed its policies and dropped a ban on homosexual activity or homosexual acts. Baylor changed the wording on that, but specifically referred itself to a 1963 statement by Baptists that very, very clearly state that all sexual activity outside of traditional marriage between a man and a woman falls outside what Baylor will accept as Christian behavior. So, I mean, once again, that was just a blatant error that the Chronicle made for a second time, and they still haven't corrected it in the story a year ago, and I doubt they'll correct it now.
And what about the Dallas paper?
Well, we're still waiting on their story that recognizes that morality and Christian doctrine might have some relevance to this scandal and this horrible situation at Baylor. I mean, how in the world? I mean, the Dallas Morning News is famous for basically saying that Baylor's Baptist identity and attacks by the fundamentalist yada yada is a part of everything that happens at Baylor. And all of a sudden, we get this huge story. And at this point, it doesn't seem that religion has anything to do with the story. Whereas my whole argument here is the story has two sides. What I called Baylor's being hit by a double whammy. Number one is Baylor's under attack for its attempts, imperfect attempts, in a sinful fallen world, to advocate traditional Christian doctrines on marriage and sex. And at the same time, Baylor has clearly failed to live up to those own standards when applied to a subject such as sexual assault. So that's, you know, that's slamming you twice. A very interesting commentator online, and I'll give her full credit at this point, in the sense I'd better, she's my big sister. My sister Dina Mattingly Blackburn responded to one of my posts by noting that she sees Baylor being hit with a triple whammy. And this makes a very interesting point because I think it's relevant to the football scandal. Christians are expected to allow people to repent and to give them a second chance. And in several of the cases where Baylor athletes have been accused of doing horrible things, these were people that, for better or for worse, Baylor had been attempting to give these young men a second chance in terms of straightening their life out. And Dina, who trust me, there is nobody stricter on issues of sexual assault than my sister because of her professional background, including decades of work in cases related to abused women and other topics linked to this. My sister is extremely progressive and strict on her thinkings in these matters. She was saying the sad part is that Baylor probably has helped some young men turn their lives around. And Christians are expected to try to help people do that. But that doesn't excuse any bad behavior on these issues. It just simply means that it makes it harder for Baylor to say, well, shouldn't we at least try to help young men under these circumstances? In other words, that adds a whole poignant third layer to this story, whereas some schools might just say, at the first glimmer of trouble, they just cut a young man off, cut their damages, and get them out of here. My sister would say, at some point, don't we at least owe an attempt at Christian compassion to some of these young men, even while condemning any activity that's illegal or doesn't meet Christian standards? Complex stuff, right?
Does Baylor have a parallel? Is there a corollary to Baylor anywhere else in college sports where you could point to it and say, here's another school facing exactly the same kind of issue?
Well, I can only think of one that just leaps to mind immediately in the strength of their lifestyle covenant, and that would be Brigham Young. A lot of people have been asking me, well, what about Notre Dame? And I said, you know, to my knowledge, Notre Dame has no significant lifestyle covenant or anything. And a lot of traditional Roman Catholics would say that Notre Dame is extremely mixed up and confused in its defense of the Catholic faith in a number of ways, that there are some parts of Notre Dame that are very strong and other parts that aren't. But suffice it to say, I haven't seen much evidence that the Notre Dame athletic programs fall under some strict conduct policy related to Christian faith. I've seen no evidence of that. I mean, so can you think of another one besides Baylor and Brigham Young?
Well, I can't.
In terms of NCAA Division I?
And I can't, but I'm wondering whether Brigham Young is the press going to treat Brigham Young differently because of the Mormon factor, if you know what I mean?
If anything, I think they would be stricter on them. And I think you see this in coverage of some current scandals at Brigham Young involving sexual assault claims that don't have to do with athletics. There was a major story on this in the New York Times just a couple of days ago, which we looked at Get Religion. Now, I think Brigham Young isn't going to draw as much attention as Baylor for the simple reason that at this moment in history, they haven't been mentioned as potential competitors for the national title in football.
You mentioned 200 schools. Was it more than 200 schools that are under investigation?
The New York Times said almost 200. I saw another statistic, I believe it was in the Washington Post, that said more than 180. So we're looking at somewhere between 180 and 200.
Is there any way that a school like Baylor can use this as an opportunity to show the way forward on this issue?
Well, you know, the press coverage of the Baylor situation has been all over the fact, and I appreciated the fact that the initial reaction from ESPN, in terms of commentary at ESPN, made this exact point. I mean, saying, you know, how many other schools that are facing very serious allegations on this, even if they had systems in place for accountability that Baylor didn't have, which is horrible that Baylor didn't have them, some of these other schools, would they react by firing the coach that brought them from the dregs of the Big 12 to back-to-back league championships and, you know, potential serious contention for football's Final Four? This piece noted that there have been some other coaches fired, but these were like assistant coaches, or these are coaches that weren't all winning all that much over these issues. Sitting here in East Tennessee, the very first comparison I would draw is the University of Tennessee itself here in Knoxville, close to where I live, where there have been a lot of sexual assault problems. But, you know, I haven't seen a single person even suggest that this might cost the coach, let alone the university president, their job. Oklahoma has had a lot of problems with these topics. Of course, that Oklahoma University is famous as being the school where the president of the school once said, "We hope someday to have a university our football team can be proud of." I mean, football is ginormous at those big state schools in that part of the world. Let's see if we now have a higher bar raised for administrative conduct at other schools after what Baylor has done. You might have seen today that Ken Starr, as a matter of conscience, resigned as chancellor of Baylor as well. In addition to being kicked out of the presidency, they asked him to remain chancellor, primarily a fundraising role, and left him as a professor of law at Baylor's law school. Well, today, Ken Starr has resigned from the position of chancellor, stating that as a matter of conscience. And Baylor's athletic director, who was placed on probation, has resigned as well. So we're talking a fairly significant house cleaning when it takes the most successful football coach in the history of the university, the athletic director who put that program on the map, as well as men's basketball on the map. Women's basketball at Baylor was already on the map. And the president. So let's see if that higher bar exists for other schools now.
That sounds to me either like setting the bar, as you say, or showing the way forward for taking care of these problems where the roots are, and you know, sending a message to other schools. Or, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this, a sacrificial lamb. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see if the calls for Baylor to receive the football death penalty over this, you know, where they're made ineligible, they lose scholarships, they take what is the penalty, 5 years off from bowl games or something like that. It's the ultimate weapon, you know, in terms of NCAA sanctions. Let's see if people continue to call for that to be applied to Baylor. What's interesting in this case is that Baylor self-reported these problems to the NCAA. That list of 180-plus schools that were being investigated, Baylor wasn't on that list, according to the New York Times. So Baylor self-reported this, and they self-reported what is truly a horror story. But once again, let's see how much the national press calls out the dogs, you know, on some of these other schools as well. I would make one other point just as a Baylor alum, and specifically as a Baylor alum in journalism. There are a lot more alumni of these other big sports schools in the national press corps in the field of sports writing than there are sports writers from Baylor. When you're talking about schools like the University of Texas, University of Tennessee, Oklahoma, Florida State, Penn State, these are schools that are powerful in terms of the reporters that are either from there or are loyal to those schools to some degree, or at least respect them. Whereas Baylor, once again, is not exactly a school that has commanded intense respect from the National Press Corps for very long.
With only a minute here, Terry, what, coming back to the Houston Chronicle, what do they need to do to get the story straight?
Well, it's going to be hard to get Baylor people to talk to you on the record. I would simply back it up to the level of saying, what would a seriously Christian college or university put in place to defend its teachings on sexuality, including very strict and high standards on defending women, the rights of women in these cases, and sexual assault in general? If you tried to get leaders among Christian education to discuss that topic, I think you would find a diverse amount of opinion, and I think that would be a very worthwhile discussion. And ask them to discuss it specifically within a matter of Christian ethics and behavior. In other words, the question here isn't whether Baylor was too conservative. I would argue, as I argued back in the 70s, that Baylor is acting like it's not conservative enough when it comes to defending its beliefs on these issues.
Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the Weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C., will be our guest. We're going to talk about what some are calling abortion deserts. Stay tuned.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.